B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand on a Friday. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Doing good.
Welcome.
How you doing?
Real good, real good.
Beatles
real
getaway
good.
Day today.
Where you going?
It's
where
not
you going,
really
Beagle?
A getaway day. No one's going anywhere. I'm not here next week, but I just treat it like any other show. What can I say? Just another
well,
day, another
pro.
Show.
That's because you're a pro.
I didn't say that. You did. All right, let's have some opening thoughts. What do you say? It's Friday.
Yeah.
What do you have? What do you want to do?
I started swimming in the morning now just to get some more exercise before the show. So I do laps back and forth. I'm kind of still sweating from it. And it isn't – you know how, like, you're up against it with – we do a call in the morning for people that listen. We do, like, a call somewhere between 9, 9:30, and sometimes that call could take 45 minutes given the fact we don't have sports and we have to be creative, or it could be a matter of 5 minutes if we know what we're doing. And sometimes your shower gets backed up against it, or maybe I didn't plan well enough to where I took the shower before it. So I've sort of doubled down now to where the swim has become the shower. And you get in there, and you move around, and you kind of, you know, the chlorine sort of cleans me. You know, I feel cleaner than when I swam outside of the Museum of Science, Children's Museum of Science, where I think that new blue algae is back and the toxic stuff. And I think I swam in that last week, so... The pool has cleaned me, and I just hurry up, blow dry the hair, and then shave, and then I'm good to go today. So that's my new routine. New routine, you know?
Wait a second.
And that's your take?
No, that's not my take. That's just kind of like, hurry up, sat down. I basically just turned on the NBC Sports Boston just called, hurry up, turned on the TV, and I hurry up and put on the tie line here with Jim, and I'm ready to go. But we're a local-based show. We talk about the Patriots, but obviously
yes.
With Tom Brady down in Tampa, we're on Brady watch constantly here. And, you know, that guy's working out. I think 17 guys were in one of the pictures where the NFL has said, please don't congregate in groups and work out as groups. We talked about Jason McCourty last week saying, I really don't know how we're going to do this yet. Tampa is doing it. They're going to do it. And I think this has to do with his window. You know, it's now or never for him. He's got 1 or 2 years. He's got 2 years left. He's got 2 years left. And he's got to make the most of this. And you're a new guy, and you got to get to know these new guys. And you got to get in there, and you got to find out what the hell they deal with. He's got to teach them how to win. He's got to teach them work ethic. He said that, and he's conveyed this to me, that they got a lot of talent down there. He said, the problem is I don't know if they know how to win. And that's the big thing. You know, when the game's on the line, third quarter, fourth quarter stuff, do these guys believe that they can win? And that's what I've got to convey to them. And I think he needs to be around them to do that. And I don't think he's trying to stick it up anybody's you-know-what or, ha-ha, I'll show the league or I'll show Bill or I'll show the Patriots. I think this is him wanting to be good. And the thing that pisses me off is how good a shape the tight end is and how good the tight end looks. Because I think he effed us last year. And...
You know what, though? I mean, I've heard this before. I've heard about how good guys look. And I'm not comparing Gronkowski and his makeup to Josh Gordon or anyone else.
No, I'm not even talking the physical part of it. I'm talking, like, read some of the stuff from the guys down there.
What else do we have to judge it on other than a picture with his shirt off and he's tan and he's cut? So what?
He's moving well. I've talked to people. He's moving real well.
What? Against guys on his own team in glorified walkthroughs.
He may not ever have to put his hand down. They may flex him and stick him outside and put him in a slot and move him around, put him in motion. And he in essence, has become probably going to become Jimmy Graham later here in his career.
Okay, he could be great. Like, leaner, faster, doesn't have to do all the physical stuff. I am slowly turning, and I still want Brady to be good. I still think the best story for this season is have, you know, the Patriots in whatever they end up doing with Jared Stidham and Belichick, yep. And it's like, wow.
Turns shockingly
out,
good.
Turns out, you know, Belichick was, you know, the mastermind we all thought he was. And then Brady goes down to Tampa, and he's playing well with Gronk. That's a fun story, and you're just watching both. But right now, in a close second, is I wouldn't mind seeing Brady fall on his face because this stuff is starting to get on my nerves.
Ooh.
It was already getting on my nerves a little bit, but now, whether it's, you know, you're quoting FDR for some unknown reason, or whether you're hosting your workouts in defiance of what the NFLPA and local authorities are suggesting, not mandating, and they're not breaking any laws. They're not even really breaking. But again, this is kind of frowned upon right now. Screw it. All in. Doing everything. Because, A, where was it with the Patriots the last couple of years? And, B, oh, look at that. Only thing we have to fear, comma, is fear itself.
This is my lead-off thought
which
right
is,
here.
Which is, this. You put the comma in the wrong place if you're really trying to capture what he was saying. It's bugging me. It's irritating me. I think it's annoying. He's being annoying right now.
Why do you think comma's in the wrong place?
He is right now. Tom Brady right now is, I would say, your ex-girlfriend or ex-boyfriend who is going on Instagram to show you how great of a time they're having without you.
And they're still able to get somebody that's hot, too.
That's who this guy is right now. That is what he is doing. He is taking to social media to show everyone how amazing it is now that he's not with Bill Belichick anymore, how he's a new man. And he's having fun again. And not only is he doing it on social media, but his friends like Tom House are doing it and speaking about it. In fact, we have some audio with that. Why don't we play that? I know we wanted to get to that here in this segment. Let's hear from Tom House on Brady being with Gronkowski and just having the time of their life.
I think the most fun text we've had is when Gronk signed. He texted me and said, "Football's fun again." The cool thing about dealing with these guys, they are just like you and me. They're big kids. They might be, you know, superstars, GOATs, the best ever. But they're big 12-year-olds.
Oh, they're just like 12-year-olds again. And football is so fun again. I haven't had texts like this in years from TB12 and Rob Gronkowski. It's so much fun. And things are so great in Tampa Bay. Oh,
I heard that, and I thought
already.
Of them. First thing I thought of when I heard that was them frolicking in Fenway Park. You know, when they were chased, when Rob took whatever jersey and he was running around, and Tom was trying to chase him and tag, "You're it."
Yeah, but in addition to that,
I get it.
The FDR quote, using the FDR quote, is clearly a shot at the NFLPA. And it's a shot at anyone that's questioning whether or not Tom Brady and all of his teammates should be on the field together despite being advised not to be. So listen, is he breaking any law? No. Is he breaking any ordinances? No. But why do you have to celebrate it? I don't understand that, and this goes beyond just Tom Brady. It goes to anybody in general. What are you celebrating here to stand up in your act of defiance? And now you've got take a shot at the NFLPA because they say, "Hey, we advise that everyone sort of stay put until we get to training camp at the end of next month," because much like the NBA, they're trying to have their players come in as healthy as possible and have as few positive cases as possible when they get to training camp. That's why that idea has been put forth. And so instead, no, I'm not going to listen. Okay, fine. You're not going to listen. We can't make you listen. But now you got to put it on Instagram with the FDR quote. Obviously trying to express that there is nothing to fear. The only danger from coronavirus is that you fear coronavirus. Tom, you're in a state that's going to crap right now. You are in the state of Florida. The numbers are bad there. They're going to continue to be bad for a bit, if not longer. Will you stop already? Can you just stop? Go do your thing and just go do your thing. Can you get off social media? Can you just stop spending every minute of your life on there? letting everybody know how great it is and how fun it is and how much it's how much your life has improved since moving on from New England. Enough already. Enough. I just thought the comment, the quote from FDR Hardy was with purpose, and it was about, you know, there's nothing to fear by being out here. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to drink from my TB12 water bottle, which I'm sure has a $50 pack of vitamins inside, which he would tell you can, you know, save you from it. Right? I mean, that's just how it feels.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Yes, more people getting sick from coronavirus. That thing, too. But, yeah, forget it. Like, stop. Stop. It's a crappy message.
It's just, you know, you're taking like a... Yeah, you're reappropriating like that for an off-season football workout. Like, I don't know if... I mean, Beetle, the way you laid it out, I get it. If you want to, you know, try and figure it out for him, but get over yourself. And the thing that annoys me is...
I think FDR was talking more about, like, you know, runs on the banks when he made that speech as opposed to...
Well, I mean, economically, I mean, when was that? Like, 33 when he made that speech? So
yeah,
it's like, just, okay.
Yes.
It's, you know, there's economically, I suppose. But you're out there throwing footballs around. Get over yourself.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Not to mention the fact that when did he turn into the guy that if I don't put it on Instagram and Twitter, it didn't happen? You know, when did he become the guy that felt the need to document so much of his life?
I'd say right around March 15th or so, maybe. No, right around there.
It's been going back a couple of years when he when he got on board with social media, did the big announcement as to which he was, you know, going to be the first to sign up with, and it was Instagram. But then he joined Twitter, and now it's. How about if you just work out?
Because I know there's not enough guys on his team there that with him in this COVID thing where you're not supposed to have big groups. He's got to add a camera guy or two in the mix, too.
Oh, yes. He has his team.
I've thought of who's taking the photos.
Oh, somebody who knows what they're doing. Those are good pictures. There's an official photographer there, for Christ's sake.
No. That's his crew. It's Chopra's crew. They're following him around. I know that for a fact.
Well, whatever. So
that's a crew. Him. That's an official crew with official photographers.
Professional photographers.
They're filming him. They're filming him daily. For whatever documentary that you have coming up. So, he's being chronicled right now daily. Followed, filmed, and I...
Yes, that's Hardy's problem.
It could be his team putting this out. It might not even be him. They might be controlling his social media, his team.
Oh, his
not
team
his
of...
Team.
His team
personal
of
TB12 team is Chopra crew, Ben, all those guys.
I don't think he's going home. No, not for his second. I think Brady is going home and taking out his phone and posting anything himself. Yeah. But he's in control of it. He's in charge.
He's the one
who's got to approve this stuff.
Correct.
Why don't you just stop it? Like, go work out all you want. Do your thing. But the need to, like, continually, like, promote. I don't even know what he's promoting here. How awesome.
Himself.
Awesome and unafraid I am of life and coronavirus. Well, oh, yeah, I happened to swallow a couple of my TB12 Protect pills beforehand. You know, the ones that... increase your immunity in these nudge nudge wink wink uncertain times, or only $40 a bottle. $40. Get out of here.
Yeah, these posts are getting sort of annoying.
I'm not there yet, but it's because of course we've dealt with it for a while. We goofed on him before, but now he's doing the stuff that he wasn't doing here before, the off season workouts. Like, okay, well, what are you supposed to like it? You're supposed to root for him? Or is it okay to be a little annoyed by this?
I think it's
okay to be a little irritated and a little annoyed by it.
I understand it. And I think it goes back to the fun part of it, too. Remember when Danny left and Danny Amendola signed with Miami, right? It's Miami he went to first. Go be free, have fun. You know, Gronkowski wrote that. Tom liked that. Yeah, go have fun. Rob's back. Rob's having fun again. Like, they didn't have fun here at the end for whatever reason. And I think we know what the reasons are, somewhat. But that's why he wasn't around here. It doesn't mean he wasn't working out, doing this type of stuff on his own quietly and more private. Now it's just more out in the open and sort of documented and on display.
Well,
people are irritated, and I don't blame people for it.
They are very excited to tell you about all the fun that they're having now. That's what it comes down to.
Just imagine if Busch Gardens was open. Imagine if Busch Gardens was open. They'd probably freaking go in a loop-de-loop four times a day.
And their new relationship with their new team is off the charts great.
Seems like they're the best. Down there. Yep.
617-779-0985. This and everything from the week today on this Friday. We'll get some more football thoughts and whatever else it is you want to talk about as well. We'll do that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is how the pros.
That's great. Thank you, Beef. You're proud of yourself.
Do Sports Talk Radio.
Your microphone is down. Hey, Marconi.
Just hit the button.
Turn the mic up.
I'm just,
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I think the most fun text we've had is when Gronk signed, he texted me and said, football's fun again.
Did you call that a fun text? The most fun text we had? Like, we text each other. You ever say, boy, that was a fun text?
No, you don't. It's not that even was natural. Isn't that an odd term?
Stop deflecting, Zoe. It's not Tom House's fault. He didn't send the text.
No. I think he's saying
I'm saying like Tom Rip and Tom
it's
House.
It's Tom House speaking.
The most fun text we had.
And doing the bidding for Brady.
Play it again.
You ever get something funny from me or Beetle or Zoe, and then you turn to your wife and say, You want to see a really fun text?
It's just, I'll drop my pants and take a picture in a mirror.
It's an odd choice of words is what Zoe is saying.
That's all.
Nope.
I agree.
Easy,
I just think
Jim.
Just deflecting off of the Brady criticism. That's all.
Are you criticizing Brady with that, Zoe?
No, not at all.
I am. I connect the two because I think this is one of Brady's guys doing Brady's, make sure everyone knows how fun it is here. Isn't it so great here, Tom? So much fun. It's fun.
Yeah, there's no way Tom House says that without Brady letting him say that, right?
Yes, that's how I feel. Correct. I feel like it's someone in his circle of friends that is doing the same thing that Brady's doing on Instagram.
The cool thing for me is Brady's putting all his chips in the middle. Like, I'm betting on myself. I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to work my ass off.
You know what's really going to piss you off? I think I know, and I say the you in general for everyone, yeah. Patriots fans. When he does a press conference down there, like a real one, I don't know how that's going to look. I don't know what the setup will be during training camp. But when he does an actual press conference and meets with the press down there and is the Tom Brady of, let's say, 2001, 2002, and not the Brady of 2019, that's going to be annoying because I bet he'll be fun and engaging, and it will again be showing you how much fun it is there.
I think it depends on how the practices go. Like, if they're having crap practices, and if guys aren't picking it up and he's not meshing with people, he'll be in a pissy mood. They got to be humming for him to be in a good mood. And I think that'll be reflective in his press conferences. You can tell when he's not rhythm, and like last year, miserable. Yeah, most unhappy 8-0 quarterback of all time. Like, shoot, I'd give anything to be 8-0. See, that's the part where people should get pissed. What are you bitching about? Team's undefeated. You're vying for the number one, number two seed here. And I think they got to be humming. I do. I think they got to be humming for him to give you a good press conference.
Well, I think if you were giving a press conference right now, he'd give you a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like things are going well right now. But I think he's an in-the-moment guy and wears his emotions on his sleeve. So he's never hid those.
And Mike Evans has joined the fun as well. So the list is getting better there. Things are getting better, and Brady's having a ton of fun. So good for him. NFL teams, by the way, are still planning on opening camps this coming July 28th. Are you at all surprised to hear that, there's been sort of this, we're still doing this thing?
No. I think you need a date, right? And we're going to do it. Whether it works or not, we're going to do it.
That was from Adam Schefter, by the way. It was Jeff Pasch was the one who gave him the quote. Jeff Pasch, the executive vice president of the league, said, we are opening on the normal schedule.
Yeah, okay. So I started thinking about this more when you hear that. And this is another football take I have that I don't think many people are talking about. This is huge for coaches, meaning if you're a coach and you're looking at your room and whatever you're coaching receivers, whether you're coaching offensive linemen, I think it's imperative that you are on the same page with the backups. This could be a massive year for the backups. And I'm not talking backup quarterbacks. I'm not backup running backs, backup center, backup tight ends, backup receivers, backup corners. Because if somebody goes down, next guy up, right? And if you don't have that next guy's ass ready to go, your team's effed. You're in trouble. So you got to – I know you spend less time with the backups as far as reps. I wonder how teams are going to approach practices and training camp. Will reps – be split in half? Will reps be accelerated for some of the backup guys that maybe in other years haven't seen much? Because we got to make sure everybody's on the same page and ready to go. Because when you talk about NFL football, especially in offense, and you look at this team last year, for example, continuity is imperative up front. You got to have five offensive linemen where the center makes the call and everybody knows what everybody's doing for you to have the ability to function. Now all of a sudden you take one of those guys out. Now you got a little crack in the chain. Chink in the armor, whatever you want to call it, and do you believe in the next guy? And if you don't believe in the next guy, you got to get reps. You need confidence. You need playing time. You need all that. This could be the year of the backup in the NFL, like we've never seen it before. It might be 10 quarterbacks that might have to play because, say, your guy catches this thing. Your quarterbacks aren't immune. You're human. I know Brady might not think he's human and he's immune to this thing, but, you know, say Drew Brees gets it. Say Lamar Jackson gets COVID. You know, who's the backup down there? Is he going to be ready to go? You know, maybe this is why some teams are interested more. You hear the Kaepernick stuff, because maybe we now need to carry three guys. Some teams carry two. Every team might carry three quarterbacks this year. You know, roster composition could be different than other years. There's a lot of factors, I think, that go into this training camp and the whole approach towards COVID as you go, because there's no bubble for the National Football League.
Well, I'm curious to know how the first 3 weeks of this are going to go and what they're actually going to accomplish.
No kidding.
In the first 3 weeks of camp. Here's Burt Breer from earlier today on Tutcher and Rich.
I know there are teams that feel like they should push the start of the season back. The league itself actually floated the idea to players about, you know, the idea of pushing the report date up to give players more time to acclimate and to go through a more stringent protocol, but the players aren't going for that. They don't want to show up early. So as of right now, that report date is staying the same. It's July 28th. And what's crazy about this is, like, the Joint Committee on Health and Safety is basically saying you should have a three-week acclimation period. That would take you right into, like, the middle of August. And so now you're talking about not even putting helmets on until August 18th. And so there's just a lot of moving parts here.
No helmets until August 18th.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
What do you mean it's not going to happen? This is what they've jointly agreed to.
Yeah, joint committee means players and owners,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, players and owners, the joint health committee. Their plan, their, you know, volume of information and planning. This is, again, going back to that same stuff that John Harbaugh is not happy about with the separation of locker stalls and trying to, you know, distance from one another, all those things. Because, yeah. Again, as Zoe, you just said, they're not operating in a bubble. They're not.
Right.
Everyone's just leaving there and going and doing their own thing every day.
Yeah. Let's go grab a couple burgers down the street and come back in. Yeah.
Right. So, no helmets until the 18th of August.
So and Brady's going to have to go from helmet workouts to non-helmet workouts.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's in helmet. He's already in his helmet.
On his own, he is. Not when he gets back to camp.
Gronkowski's been practicing with a helmet.
I don't get the helmet thing, though. What does that mean?
Like,
wouldn't it be better for teams to have guys wearing helmets with shields as opposed to nothing if they're out on the field doing workouts?
I would use those, yeah, the ones with the shields on the bottom part of it as you get incorporated or acclimated here, and then take them off maybe for the season once you get used to it, you know?
I think there's something to that, Jim. If you're getting acclimated, you're going to have to get acclimated to whatever's going on with the helmets, too. Forget what you're talking about safety-wise.
Yeah, wear a mask. But that's if you're not wearing a mask on the field and you don't have a helmet on, it's more likely to transmit that way, no?
Are you going to have to clean the helmet every time you use it? That's another thing here. You know, the transmission of this, you know, off saliva, off chin straps, off gloves, off buttoning your chin strap. I mean, is there going to be rules? Is there going to be rules during breaks where it's like Tom Coughlin circa 2008? Hey, take a knee. You can't. You take a knee, stand up. You're not taking your helmet off. We're going to do this military style. No water breaks. Yeah. Everybody's going to have their own water bottle. Watch that. It's going to be like Pop Warner. Every kid brings his own water thing because you're not going to have the shared score thing going guy to guy to guy to guy that you see during TV timeouts.
617-779-0985, the phone number. The start of NFL camp. We'll have no helmets for 3 weeks. Brady in Tampa Bay already working out. He's already getting going. You mentioned Colin Kaepernick. There's a little bit of news on that front today. Or I should say a lack thereof. I'll tell you about that. So coming up, all right?
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Great video, right, Hardy?
I don't remember this video at all.
Mary Jane Girls.
Don't remember it.
It's back when videos were big, man. Jim's spinning the hits today. Is this on your wedding playlist, Jim?
No.
No.
I don't know. Jim, come and drive it on a day like this. You want to play some good music. It's like perfect outside.
So you would classify this as good music. Yeah, it's gorgeous out. Absolutely gorgeous outside. T-Bone, who are you talking to in there? Tom's on the phone.
Is it nice right now, Zoe? Because I got to tell you, but walking the dog this morning, toward the very end, you know, walking back east there on the home stretch, a little warm, a little too hot. I was a little. I thought this is a little warm for 8:30 in the morning.
It's warm, but the humidity's down.
Right. Well, Zoe just got out of the pool, so
yeah, I'm not going to do fill-like temperature. I was sweating, but right. It's hot enough to sweat. Yeah, you're sweating at 8:30. Yeah,
and being in the pool does change it. I'm with you. I got you.
So you mentioned last segment that Colin Kaepernick could find a job because this year backups will be more important than ever. Earlier this week, Mike Silver of NFL Network said that multiple teams have interest in Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
According today to Mike Florio, he says that may be the case. However, no one has reached out to Kaepernick's camp to gather information or do anything to suggest that interest exists.
Yeah, I remember Anthony Lynn talked about this, you know, when this started to come around again. And there was the big headline that, ooh, he could fit our system and the Chargers are really maybe taking a look. He says, yeah, we're not bringing him in for a workout. That was kind of clickbait, I think, with the headline. He said he's on the runway. I think it's always good to have a group of guys that you think may fit your system that we might want to bring in if something happens. But he said we really like the three guys we have. We're not bringing them in for a workout right now. And I think that's the case, is that his name, because of everything that's going on now, has resurfaced again. And you know, and Roger Goodell thinks he should have a chance to get a job. And you know, that tune has changed somewhat, so maybe teams are more open to putting him on the list, but I don't think teams are bringing him in, you know.
Florio does point out it's possible that teams do have interest and they're waiting until training camp approaches before making a move. That could be it. I mean, this is not a typical year, but typically at this time of year, things sort of shut down before training camp. So that could be possible, and he says it's possible. He says it's also possible that if there is interest, it ultimately will not be acted upon if by late July the effort to agitate for Kaepernick's return to the NFL has subsided. He also says, regardless, it's one thing to express interest to a reporter or anyone else who, you know, isn't the person in whom a team has interest. It's quite another to actually express the interest to the person in whom the interest exists.
Yeah.
If and when that ever happens, that will be significant, but it has not happened yet. So no one has called him.
I believe that. Again, I mean, the kid hasn't played in 4 years. he looked okay in his workout last year. I thought he was flat-footed and sort of arced the ball, thrown against air. You know, you miss a couple of those look like late timing. He had to be humming that workout for someone to bring him in, and just the weirdness of the workout and the relocating, I think, turned some teams off again. So, I don't know. I mean, if, you know, the talent supersedes everything, you bring a guy in and you sort of put up with everything else. Cam Newton's still out there, right? I mean, there are guys that still don't have jobs. So,
right, he would not be the best quarterback available right now.
Right, absolutely not. So we'll see.
But we know,
and Mike's right. There's a
figure into this too.
Yeah, absolutely. His contract's figured, but there's always that dead time.
Cam Newton's going to cost a lot more, and Cam Newton is coming in to start somewhere. That's what Cam Newton's waiting for.
Right.
Mike Giardi, by the way, has some new tweets on Tom Brady that just popped up here in the last few minutes since we started talking about him. Here's what those tweets say. Tom Brady's throwing coach, Tom House, said Brady told him football is fun again. That word fun has come up a number of times related to Brady over the last few years, including when Danny Amendola first left New England for Miami. Rob Gronkowski's Instagram post was then liked by Brady.
Is he listening to our show and then just tweeting?
He's a frequent listener to the show. Yes, he is. He's also got information
like
here,
verbatim.
Though.
That's our last segment. Go ahead.
But he's obviously tweeting to a broader audience. You know, he's a national reporter now. He says, as for the continued workouts, Tom Brady is leading, despite the NFLPA recommending otherwise. A source told me Brady is, quote, in complete command. That backs what I was told a couple of weeks ago, that Brady has become the Buccaneers' Pied Piper. Here he goes again with Pied Piper. Pied Piper, despite this odd offseason. The Buccaneers' workouts are incredibly detailed, said the source. Brady is calling the plays in full, directing traffic, and both learning and correcting. Quote, he's energized. Clearly he's energized. Clearly, again, his family at home is suffering as he is not filling up the bucket this offseason. He's got no time for bucket filling. He's got all the time in the world for the Buccaneers. Buccaneers, not buckets.
Local high school.
That is Brady's
local high school.
That is Brady's new offseason slogan, Buccaneers, not buckets. He is done with the bucket filling. He's out.
Living right on the bay there. And the wife said, what? I hope we go somewhere nice, right? She's there.
His poor wife and children that he is clearly neglecting. Again, those are his words, not mine. So I feel bad. Feel bad for his family. He's not able to do it this offseason. Who's the text from?
Nobody.
Who is it?
Nobody.
Oh, yeah, lies. Nobody texted you? That's a direct response from something that was just said.
It's your already competitors, you know. Don't come up with his own content. We love Mike. My favorite one was when he was doing his thing with Andrew Siciliano. Remember when Gronkowski had the back thing and he referred it as something else? That sucker went viral.
I vaguely remember that. I remember there being a video, but I forget what
he started
said.
With a D, ended with a K, I think. Yeah.
Oh, instead of a disc, he said, yes, that's right. Now I remember that.
Pain, yeah.
Jim, do we have the Pied Piper Brady sounder? Did we settle on a Pied Piper Brady sounder that we're going with?
Yeah, give me a second. I'll pull it up.
That was a couple weeks ago, right? A couple of weeks ago we were doing that. What'd you text back? Ha ha.
Nothing.
LOL.
Like, what are you? Like, everybody.
Hey, so, was that a fun
everybody's
text?
Grasping.
Was that? So, tell me. Was
no,
that a
I wouldn't.
Text?
No, I would not term that as
some
a fun
of the most
text.
Fun texts you've had.
No, it's a ball breaking text right there. Okay.
Was it fun though?
Everybody's scrambling for content right now, right? There's enough out there for everybody. It's okay. You can use our stuff. You can turn it into your point. Sure, we do it all the time. No crime in that.
A competitor of... There we go.
What the... I think of...
See, that one...
Hey!
I don't like that one.
Look, Wendy, you can fly!
Oh, you don't?
I don't like that one.
Oh, we're all on board. We think that's great.
It's great.
I think of a freaking fairy flying past, you know?
Like that,
sprinkling pixie dust. Who comes up with that crap? Like the magic flute.
It sounds like the sound that you hear when you're supposed to turn the page in a follow-along storybook. You put the needle on the record, and when you hear that flute sound, that means turn the page.
Or when you get on the chair at the Peter Pan ride and you take that through Disney World and you take that first circle and there's Captain Hook there with TikTok the alligator and he's going to bite you.
I feel like that's a cartoon where, like, you know, you're playing the flute to get the cobra out of the basket or something.
Die, poison eye!
The eye! Jim, you're better off getting the Jerky Boys flute guy from the basket. Yes.
That might be a good one. 617-779-0985. There's some things I want to get to outside of football.
So are your kids bad. Have a recorder?
That's the one it's you sent so us, Beto. That's the one you wanted played.
No, that was there's another one I
no
sent
way.
That day that was better than that.
One street performer. One cobra. The thing went crazy because I played a wrong tune and it hit my eye with the teeth.
Okay, you need to call an eye hospital and go straight there.
But it took my eye. It did poison eye.
You need to run to the hospital right now.
Because I was going, and it don't like yes. it, and it
that. Get that.
That's the new one. Keep it.
That's
keep
all
it.
Need. See if we can isolate that. This one. Yeah, this one's so dainty.
Zippy, Zippy, yeah, Zippy rated. Played his flute.
Yeah, this one is.
As he
this
flies
one
across like. The room on his tippy toes.
Exactly. Isn't that what it sort of invokes?
He's not walking. He's floating.
Where do I gotta go?
Go to the hospital. It's at 64th Street.
When that stuff came out. I had it on disc and I had it on cassette, and I sat there and I listened to it for probably 6 days straight.
That's not on the first one, though. That's not on the first. That's not on Jerky Boys 1, I don't think.
I think Jerky Boys 2.
I think it's 2. I think that one's on number 2.
Okay, thank you.
That's sad that I know which album that was on.
So good.
Boys and I.
Uh, 617-779-0985. Jason Tatum's just going to sign his max deal, apparently. We'll tell you about that coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you could clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Get to this story. A rumor on Jason Tatum. The rumor being that he is likely and leaning towards signing a max contract extension when he becomes eligible with the Celtics, despite the potential for it to drop in value because of the coronavirus pandemic. This according to NBC Sports' A. Sherrod Blakely. He said on the Celtics Talk podcast that the financial complications of COVID-19 have made the situation murkier as Tatum decides his next step, saying Tatum's going to make some decisions. Do I sign for your 4 or 5 year extension, or do I play it out and just become a restricted free agent and hope that the cap goes up afterwards?
Well, you know, he's got the PGA Tour he could fall back on, too. I mean,
that's true, too.
He could buy all those golf clubs, yeah.
Yeah. He's got a better than average swing when it comes to PGA swing speed. So
price pupil.
I mean, isn't Isn't it ridiculous that we even know that? We know his swing speed.
Yes.
He says that I can, he says, from what I'm being told, again, this is A'Sherrod Blakely. From what I'm being told, Jason at this point is leaning towards signing a max deal when he's eligible and going from there. I would say for Jason Tatum and for anybody right now, someone's putting a max deal on the table, take the damn thing.
No kidding.
Like, take it. Given where we're at, you know, what the next couple of years could look like, who knows? They got a max deal on the table for you, take it, baby. Run with that. I just think it's good news for the Celtics. Because I want Tatum here. I want him to sign that deal. We were debating earlier this summer, the spring, should they offer it? And you know where I stand on that? Absolutely. No questions asked. You sign him. You give him that deal. You put it on the table as soon as possible. So if he's now going to sign it, given the current situation, that's good for the Celtics. It's good for him. Good for everybody involved.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know, hey, people have been, you know, talking about the golf and this and that, but it's better than him going shirtless doing a worm at a bar like Djokovic, right? So the kid picks up a little bit of a hobby, and it's supposed to affect the way he plays basketball as long as he's putting in the time on the court.
But he's got to win.
Yeah, but he's got to win. He's got to win. That winning, you know, winning gets you paid, right? That's what it does in this league. You build teams. You build your teams around max type players. And he is trending that way, and he's so damn young. I feel bad at times, you know, not criticizing, but yeah, I guess we kind of criticize him playing the golf. But if you've got one guy you got to build your team around, it's got to be him. It's got to be him.
That is so far from the truth in the NBA. Winning does not get you paid. Just being a good player gets you paid. Yes. You don't have to be great. You just have to be good.
Yep.
In the
NBA.
You
don't have to win either.
And so you don't have to be great to get the max. You have to be very good.
Is that going to be problematic for him? Meaning, okay, I've gotten paid. I am so young that, okay, I'm going to be getting paid this X amount of dollars for the next 5-6 years. I just go out and do what I want to do.
Well, no, because he's so young that if he is great over those next 5 years, he's in his mid to late 20s, and he now goes out and he does it again. Like, no, that there's plenty of motivation for him to continue to be better.
That's to win too, right?
Winning doesn't matter.
Well, his team.
Look at the money LeBron's
doesn't matter.
Made.
What don't you understand about that? He doesn't have to win. He just has to be individually great.
Yeah.
So just look at Kemba Walker. What has he ever won?
Great point.
Look at the deal he got.
Not a damn thing.
Gordon Hayward. What has he ever won?
Nothing. Right. Al Horford.
Yeah.
I mean, just go down the list. There's guys getting max money that have never done anything. There's only like four teams that win the NBA title anyways, ever.
Right. It's a rotation, and it's a rotation with certain star players, a rotation you'd like to get into. And maybe you can be that someday with Jason Tatum. Maybe you're about to be that. Who knows? But I don't think it's – I mean, I don't question at all what the Celtics should be doing in this situation. Hardy, I know you and I sort of had a back and forth about this.
I think they have no choice. They have no choice.
No, and number one, you're right. We have to separate, you know, all the stuff with the golf and everything that he's doing right now. That shouldn't change the Celtics' mind.
We can bust his balls about the golf and still say he belongs here and deserves a max contract.
And wants the max contract. But, I mean, are you willing at least now to say, okay, well, we're seeing a little bit more of his makeup right now. Am I crazy for thinking I just want to see a tiny bit more? Maybe just the rest of this season before I'd be willing to sign him that deal. Let me see how serious he took this thing while he had a chance to, you know, continue to work on his game and see what
he looks like.
That's
a good question, Hardy. So if he comes back and he's not good, and he comes back and he's not, well, not good is relative because he's still good no matter what. He's always a good player.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He's not as good as he was before the break, and we start giving him crap about having spent all this time at Core Golf out there swinging the clubs. Does that change anything? Should it change anything for offering him the deal? You say maybe it would give you pause.
Do you see the reports coming out of New Orleans though, with Zion? And because he was injured, he was allowed to be there. They said he's in like phenomenal shape and he's cut. Imagine if this guy comes back as a monster and takes advantage of the time off because he's been a workout nut.
Yeah,
what would that say about a younger player, even younger than Tatum? You know, and I don't know.
I was already hesitant to give him the deal right now without having seen him play the rest of this season. And the golf thing doesn't bother me. I think it's fine, and I don't think it's necessarily any kind of a red flag. But if you were on the fence and you wanted to use that as a reason to say, you know what, let's just see how he looks. Let's just see how he looks. Let's see if he's been taking the basketball as seriously as he does his newfound passion for swinging the wrenches. Now, just let me take a look before I sign him to this massive deal. I don't think you'd be wrong just to want to have another look at him based on that.
If I wanted to have another
look at him anyway.
If I were Danny Ainge and he comes back and he stinks, I'm still giving him the deal anyway. Because I just have the faith in the player.
Okay.
And I'm not going to let a month or two or less, whatever it may end up being, of play coming off the most unusual of circumstances ever impact my decision-making on the player. Well, you know what that player can be. You know what that player is very likely to be. And therefore, I would not hold – and I think this sort of applies to every player. I don't think that I will hold bad performances against guys long-term if I were a GM, speaking from a GM perspective. And I also would make sure not to overrate what I see in this period coming back. Does that make sense? Like, if you're looking at a potential free agent and he lights it up in Orlando, I don't know if that makes me any more likely to want to sign a guy – based on that small sample. I think that works both ways.
Yes.
So the deal for Tatum, that thing is going to be done and should be done either way. That's how I feel. I don't need the extra look. Nope. Even if he is out there playing golf again this morning.
And I hope he is. Beautiful day. You know, Zoe's feel like temperature indicated it was, you know, fine golf weather out there. Go out there and play. Just I want him to be good at basketball, too. Yeah, and he got why can't it be both? Feels like it's the theme for 2020. Why can't it be both? And it can be. He's good at golf. All right, he was real good at. He was a fantastic, phenomenal player. You know, earmarked to be the next one a couple of times from a few different sources. What be the other coaches or fellow players, whatever. Can I just see him play a little bit more in Orlando this year before we make that deal? Just to be sure. I just want to be sure. We've had a couple of players come through, and we've seen them on other teams, and certainly with the Celtics. I mean, look, it's my fault. I never understood Al Horford's genius. Fine. I always thought it was too much money. It was too big of a contract.
It's little things. Right? It's little things, though.
Don't put me in a position where I got to sit back and say, I can't believe they gave him this contract. I can't believe it. Why'd they give that? Well, did you see it? Did you see how he played in 2020? Oh, that was the season where they really didn't play the full season? Yeah, but he was so good that season they gave him the massive deal.
That pick and roll, man.
Like, okay. He's not Al Horford. He's a different player. He brings different things to the court. I don't think it's insane to just want to see him play a little bit more. Let me see how he comes back after this long layoff. See how serious he is about his game. He's still
You're very
young man.
That's all. No. You're not insane.
I'm wrong for wanting to see just a little bit more.
Yes. Yes. And you're wrong. No, not for wanting to see a little bit more. For not believing in Tatum.
Okay.
Not believing in the talent.
You say wrong, I hear overly cautious. I'm overly cautious.
Okay. Let's get to...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.